one of the impacts of COVID is acceleration, is that their willingness has increased during the period of COVID. Provider groups, especially large groups, know that access into information is limited. People can't show up and do that chart abstraction, that manual work.
You're listening to Inside Health Tech from Apixio. Join us as we explore the intersection of healthcare, data, and technology with leading industry experts. Inside Health Tech from Apixio.
Hey folks, thanks for joining us on another episode of Inside Health Tech. I'm today's host, Mark Scott, Chief Marketing Officer at Apixio. And today I'm joined by another fellow Apixion, Terry Ward. And today we're going to discuss interoperability and data acquisition strategies. Hi, Terry. How are you today?
Good, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing good. Terry, I wondered if you could take a minute or two and just introduce yourself to today's listeners and tell them a little bit about your background and how you got to Apixio.
Great. Thanks. Officially, my title is the Senior Vice President of the Solutions Team at Apixio. And what that means is really, I come to Apixio with a bit of experience, which I'll describe, but really it helps us draw upon that experience as well as my peers to make sure that we're sharing that intelligence, we're bringing market intelligence back into our portfolio and all the work that we're doing here at Apixio. And what's brought me here is I've been in the industry for nearly 30 years, half of which has been customer facing, whether it be as a client service representative for a company like McKesson or a prior company that was acquired, or leading account management for McKesson as well. However, the second half of my career, which started under United Health Group, was in product management. Optum, or the predecessor in Genix, wanted somebody with some market intelligence. And so they asked me to lead product management there. And I did that for over a decade and then carried that forward at Change Healthcare before joining Apixio. And I bring that up is because my experience has always been about solving customer or market problems, whether it be from a service support standpoint or from a solution standpoint. And that's really what brought me here to Apixio is I had some colleagues that were here that I respect quite a bit. And they said, hey, we've got this solutions team that is really tapping into that experience. And it was really a win-win. It was a perfect timing of leveraging my focus in the field, my market, and my solution attention. And it was a great opportunity. And I couldn't have been happier to join this team.
Well, I think I probably speak for everyone. We're certainly lucky to have you, Terry. Let's dive in. One of the things that has been topical in healthcare, oh gosh, it feels like it's been a decade already. You know, it started with device interoperability, but this notion of interoperability isn't going away. And there's reasons for that. I mean, we still haven't solved it. We're chipping away at it. But in case our listeners need a bit of a refresher, I was wondering if you could take a little bit of time to explain a bit about interoperability and how we're talking about it here and the challenges and opportunities associated with implementing solutions that bring about access, data access.
Yeah. And it's one of those topics that's somewhere floating between a very deliberate strategy and a buzzword. And I've heard both. I had one organization I worked with was actually hiring people with titles of interoperability. I had another organization that said, don't talk to me about interoperability. It's just a buzzword, but it's real. And as you said about devices, it's really looking at the exchange or acquisition of information between systems. In our discussion today, we're really going to be talking about the acquisition of clinical or chart information between platforms. Typically, that's the EHR, electronic health information platforms, as well as other systems that are really promoting action between clinical professionals. But it is, like you mentioned, it is wrought with challenges. It's a great time to be in this space because there's a great deal of pressure and activity.
When we talk about device interoperability, the challenges there are probably a little more obvious. And I think when we're talking about chart or access to healthcare data, I think people have taken it for granted because we have all these electronic health record systems and people are digitizing data. Well, how come we can't just get it? I wondered if you could spend a minute focusing on those problems around interoperability when it comes to that data.
Thanks. Yeah. And the assumption is true, as you mentioned, but the challenge is that each of these platforms, each of the players in this space are really marching at a different pace. they're at different places in the evolution of promoting interoperability. And so one of the major challenges is really knowledge. Whether you're speaking about platforms of Epic or Athena, Cerner, eClinical Works, and the list goes on, is that they are at different places in the ability to promote that interoperability. And I would say that the challenge is to work with individuals within your organization or to partner with those individuals that really know that landscape and can help you navigate. In a presentation I did recently, I called them Sherpas. You need that Sherpa who's working with you to take on the burden on their shoulder of understanding all the connections, the opportunities, the different avenues. What is FHIR? What is CCDA? To help you navigate. And I like the word Sherpa too, because it is a burden you got to carry. There's a navigation. There's a destination that you're trying to hit. And the major challenge is to have that knowledge and have those partners that can help you in that journey.
I like the Sherpa analogy, by the way. There's been a lot of people going after that, organizations going after, a lot of middleware companies have sprung up. And there are definitely challenges associated with not only the access of data, you've mentioned the lack of information to be able to navigate that. What's the government doing? I've heard we're starting to see an increase in government pressure here, particularly on EMRs or EHRs and other companies to make that data available. We heard from Google last year, maybe had a little too much access. But again, their point is clear. You need access to data to improve these systems. So how is the government and what legislative bodies are playing a role in pushing this forward?
Yeah, another great question. And I'm actually going to answer that by highlighting what a great time it is to be in this space. Because while there are those challenges, and if you've seen one, you've seen one, you have to know and get that Sherpa next to you. But the opportunity is that it is evolving rapidly, the space. And there are various pressures in this ecosystem, this landscape, that are advantageous to us. Not only is there legislative pressure to your question, and I'll come back to that in just a second, but there are also technical changes. The discussions I had 6 months, 8 months ago are not the discussions we're having today, because technology is changing, evolving rapidly. The business drivers, how people are seeking to use this information, is changing, evolving rapidly. People are eager to get at this information, but it's being driven by your question, which is, what are some of the legislative pressures? What are people doing out there to legislatively, regulatory manner to really promote this? And that's where it started. It started, 2004, the ONC had been initiated, opened up, but it's really been taken on over the last 24 months, and most recently in the last 12, where CMS have mandated direct access to the various components of information. And I'll highlight a few as an examples, but it's this latest legislative mandates that have really helped crease open that window, that door for us to walk through and take advantage of these technical changes and the business drivers in the use of information. But recently, even here this past January, there's been the mandate to have patient access APIs to claims and clinical information. Now, they're not going to enforce that until starting in July, but it's a pressure, it's a mandate. People have to satisfy this or to be penalized. The second that also happened in January was related to provider directories and having access to that through these interfaces, these APIs. And then one more I'll highlight that I really am looking forward to is, in addition to some hospital ADT, but starting next year, is payer-to-payer data exchange. These mandates are forcing the door open that are really catalyzing the need for technology. These EHRs are now opening up to allow us to satisfy some of these business opportunities.
That's great. Thank you for all the background on that. It's good to see that there's momentum. Before I jump to my next question, you did bring up a couple of things that sparked a little interest with me. Are we seeing, or are you seeing out there, any pushback from payers, providers, or EHRs? Is there pushback, or are people on board with, we got to make this happen, and people starting to row in the right direction?
It is changing. As I mentioned, conversations I had mid, early part of last year with provider groups, there wasn't a tolerance, a patience for me to engage them about exchanging information. I called those same individuals 6 months later, and there's a willingness because of these legislative pressures. And to be honest, because of COVID, because the struggle is there as well, is that it has changed the conversation. You have mandates that are forcing this to happen. You have technology that's walking through that door, and you have COVID that has closed down the traditional means of accessing charts, manual, boots on the ground type of way. So all of these have really changed the dialogue to your question and have really opened that up quite a bit. So yeah, there has been resistance, but the conversations are much different. You still have to be sensitive to the provider abrasion. You have to be sensitive to where people are in their technology journey, but the conversations are changing and evolving very quickly.
My next question has to do with something you touched on at the beginning of this conversation, and that was around the unstructured text, the access to that valuable information, and that interoperability, permitting some of that access, can really help revolutionize some of the solutions we can bring, help speed business process and insights. Today, I have a lot of awareness around how chart retrieval and chart access is done now. It does lead to a high level of provider abrasion. It's expensive. It's time consuming, it's not timely, and not always accurate in terms of grasping everything that they want to from a patient or information perspective. Terry, from your perspective, with all that, how are companies and solutions maybe that you've seen out there addressing retrieval or data access, health data access, especially this unstructured data, in a scalable way, if at all?
Yep. And it does kind of get back to what we spoke about before. I think how they're addressing it is, we joked about the Sherpa, right? Helping us in that process. I think the first way in which organizations are addressing it is becoming informed. They need to understand that landscape. They need to work with people that are understanding that landscape. And as we said before, each of the sources of information are at a different point in this journey. So I think one of the ways that I'm seeing them is to acknowledge that as they get informed, is to know that it's not one size fits all. It is not one modality of engaging or accessing information that will fit across their landscape, especially for payers, especially for the national players, where payers that are involved in all different sizes and types of provider organizations on all different sizes and types of EHRs. So they need to have that diverse, multimodal approach to accessing chart information. Luckily, much more of this is becoming accessible electronically, cloud-based solutions, using some of these newer standards around APIs and FHIRs, acronyms that we love to throw around. And so, but I think the challenge is to be diverse, to be informed, and then to take that diversity and become deliberate where you're going to point each of the different modes of engagement to get as much penetration, to have as much of your net out there capturing that information through the best modality that's available to you. Unfortunately, I think until some of these forms even opened up even wider, some of these electronic accesses to these platforms, organizations still need those safety nets. They will still need those boots on the ground. They still need to be able to receive and exchange information. But luckily, I think what organizations are doing is they're going through that build, buy, and partner decisions that you oftentimes have to do in solutioning is, who do I need to build with? Do I need to build that engagement with the EHR? Do I need to buy a partner that's already there? Or do I need to create an agreement with people that have forged that ground previously? So multimodal, get informed, look at your partner relationships and do the build, buy strategy, and then get deliberate in which modality fits what need best.
Thank you for that. Definitely, there's so many moving parts on the data access and so many different types of data that you have to account for, as you've already highlighted. But I want to take us back to something you touched on a couple questions ago, and that's COVID. We at least have to have a question around COVID. How does interoperability, do you think, impact our current COVID world, the pandemic that we're living in? Is it accelerating the need? Is it causing additional complexity? Like, we had a spike in telehealth usage last year. How that's recorded and documented might be very different from traditional methods. So if we have an increase in telehealth, as an example, will that increase the complexity around this challenge that many companies are trying to solve? Or how is COVID impacting it?
It's certainly impacted in several ways, and as COVID has impacted all of healthcare. First is, unfortunately, while there's been evolution, the evolution towards true electronic access to charts hasn't been fully formed when COVID hit. One of the impacts of COVID is acceleration, is that provider groups, EHR platforms, have been much more creative and their willingness has increased during the period of COVID. Provider groups, especially large groups, know the access into information is limited. People can't show up and do that chart abstraction, that manual work. So there've been a much more greater willingness. Organizations have opened up. Let me give you a username and password to my EHR. Go in, log in, and pull that information out. Creative, open discussions. That closed door relationship between payers and providers that can happen really opened up. I think that's one of the major changes with COVID is the willingness to exchange, the creativity to involve. Number two is technology. There's been a lot of dynamic change that even the EHR platforms have engaged in the last 12 months, opening up platforms, engaging different relationships. I have one EHR that we worked with that was going to charge me significantly for access to information. It became free because they're promoting interoperability. Overnight, it changed dynamically. And I think the third way that COVID really impacted, especially for payers, obviously the pressures of COVID were very different between a provider group and a payer. For a payer with the low utilization of healthcare services during COVID, it really changed their medical loss ratio and put more money available to them to invest in technology. And so the last really impact is you see a lot of changes, whether it be, as I mentioned, the build by partner, building solutions, partnering differently, investing differently. There was one organization we spoke with that they took that investment and really reached out to their provider groups and said, how can we help you create these points of connectivity, this interoperability exchange? So I think those are some of the major changes I've seen: willingness to engage, technology growth between platforms, and the investment in that technology.
Good to see some positive impact of the pandemic, for sure. So I have at least one more question here, and it's around what interoperability can bring us. And it does bring up another potential buzzword, and that's the patient longitudinal record. We hear a lot of companies talking about, and just in general in the healthcare space, about comprehensive, robust longitudinal record, and many different types of conversations and threads are being pulled on around what that actually can develop or infer for healthcare. So I want to bring that longitudinal record into the discussion, but also ask you, in addition to that, what enablers are being promoted through interoperability for the future? Longitudinal record, okay, is there anything else? And maybe we could spend a couple of minutes talking about, like, well, okay, great, we have a robust patient profile. What does that really enable for healthcare? What does that really get us downstream?
As we mentioned in the beginning, I've been in the industry for longer than I probably want to admit. And it's really resurfacing some of the conversations that started a long time ago. I've been working with information for all of my career in healthcare. And there's always been a challenge of bringing in information once and using it multiple times for different initiatives. And through interoperability and with COVID and some of the technical challenges, I'm now hearing that discussion more than I ever did before. I think the opportunity or the enablers, as you mentioned them, I would probably say there's three main that I want to highlight, main ones. One is the chart retrieval itself. Is I've had a number of organizations that, in the spirit of build by partner, they said, I don't want to be a data management shop. I want someone to come in and really own that for me. Owning it means ingest that data to analyze, make sure what's usable, what's not. I want you to maintain it. I want you to be able to retain that chart. Let me access it when I want, search on it when I want, and be that repository, so to speak. So repository is number one that I've heard, is that data management partnership, the ownership, the maintenance of that record, and the retrieval and searching on that record is one conversation that I've heard. Getting back to my prior point is that then you can bring it in. And oftentimes in the groups that we work with, they're the source of retrieval, but then they have their business partners internally, the person from quality, the person from care coordination, prior authorization, tapping on their shoulder and saying, hey, have you asked for this chart? Can I have access to that chart? And that's where that chart repository comes into play, is to bring it in once and use it multiple times. I think the second, I'm saving longitudinal record for last, is the evolution that was already in place before COVID and the changes around interoperability is prospective, whether it be prospective risk or quality. That's been there for quite a while, but it has accelerated during this last period of interoperability, so that as we open up the door to more real-time access, greater access to chart unstructured information, as you mentioned, is that we're opening up the door to push the insights that come from that data. So we bring in the chart. So what? Let's apply analytics. Let's identify what insights, what actions are promoted. And now, instead of pushing those retrospectively after care is provided, let's push it to the point of care. And that's being enabled by more real-time access, as well as being enabled by the two halves of interoperability, not only the pull of information, but the pushing of information back into these platforms. Prospective actions, prospective initiatives is a second area of growth I've seen that is an enabler here, is to get to real-time, analyze and push near real time so that your impact and that provider has access to the greatest insights as they're engaging in care. And lastly, is our favorite, is the longitudinal record. And the reason why I left it to last was that it's really taking advantage of the prior two. It's maintaining that chart. It's looking at that chart, pushing that insight. But what the longitudinal record does is it ties the connection of all those charts together in a history, a profile for Terry Ward, for Mark Scott, or for whoever, so that it's threading all that together, and then it's adding all the intelligence to it, whether it be prospective insights, whether it be insights about risk, quality, care coordination. And so longitudinal record is really threading all of that together now across these initiatives so that you're ingesting, you're analyzing once, and leveraging that longitudinal record to serve many masters, many initiatives across the organization. And it's going beyond just prospective.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. I just wanted to add, it brings up another initiative that we've heard a lot about over the last bunch of years. It's personalized medicine, or truly personalized medicine. Right. You can't have truly personalized medicine, I would imagine, unless you have a robust patient profile or longitudinal record, right?
Yep. And I think it enables us to, I'm going to throw another buzzword that everybody loves to use, which I really do care quite a bit about, as I'm sure others do, is the social determinants of health. Is, well, a buzzword because people know it's valuable. Right? Meaning health, ultimate health outcome is driven by more than just clinical care. That longitudinal record allows us to look at all those conditions, bring in all that information, not just the clinical data, but the socioeconomic, the living conditions, the number of family members in a home, all those other conditions that really help form a true picture that help us give the right care to the right person at the right time, whether it be transportation, help with pharmacy drugs. So social determinants of health, I think, become another vehicle that's enabled by that longitudinal record.
Thank you, Terry. Certainly, earlier interventions lead to better outcomes, and seems like a good point to end on. Well, Terry, I wanted to thank you for your time today, as always, and I want to invite everybody else who's listening to join us for another episode of Inside Health Tech, brought to you by Apixio. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Inside Health Tech is a production of Apixio. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To learn more about Apixio's AI analytics solutions for healthcare, visit apixio.com. Inside Health Tech from Apixio.